So we'll try to do today. It's a shorter shiur anyway. We'll try to get into a little bit of an introduction about topics of Borer. And tomorrow we'll have more time to go into it in a little bit more detail. What would be nice is if tomorrow we can focus on the conditions that the Gemara gives, the three conditions that are provided as a way to be able to effectively and permissibly select food and what that reflects. So we'll see if we get up to that point. First, we'll try to just basically have some kind of a framework to try to understand what this malacha is about. So first off, as we start every malacha, so what does borer mean? How would we translate it? We were writing in English. Sorting. Okay. And what does sorting mean? Is that sort of a definition? What does it mean to sort? Anyone else want to take a stab at it? What does borer mean?
Separating.
Separating. So is separating and sorting mean the same thing?
No, it's not.
No, okay, why not?
Well, because separating means you have at least two items and you remove one from the other. Sorting means you can have a lot of things together, but you just organize it. It could all be one.
Oh, okay, so you're saying is that the sorting does not necessarily put the items in a different place.
Correct.
It assigns them the status within its arrangement.
Sorting can be with one item, not necessarily two.
Okay, those are important possible distinctions. So as I'm always looking for with these definitions, so let's grant you for a moment that those are differences between sorting and separating, so we're not going to say that either Sammy or Jonathan is right here, but the existence of those two possibilities as definitions helps us to identify and to sort out and separate out some possible issues here. Any other stabs at defining what's going on?
Refining.
Refining? Interesting. Why would you call it refining?
Well, you're taking out the bad stuff from the Tarovas.
So that's what it means to refine. Okay, so refining. It's also positive, yes. It's beautiful and inspirational, but also in terms of positive, not just that we want it to be inspirational, but for the malachas of Shabbos to be constructive, so we want a positive definition. So maybe refining is a better way of putting it. The question is, if you have to choose between sorting and separating for positivity, do they qualify as positive definitions? Well, as I saw a little bit yesterday, that's one of the major issues with this malacha. And that's something we'll also try to clarify a little bit more today. Okay, so sorting, separating, refining, anything else? Okay, so all of these are possibilities. And we know this is a fundamental issue with this malacha and with its colleagues and its subdivision. We spent some time yesterday talking as we finished off the issue of Zoreh. So what we focused on yesterday was the interrelationship of the three. And the Talmud Bavli taking the view that Zoreh and Borer and Merakeh are linked, are sharing one theme. So to what extent are they the same and to what extent are they distinct? And the number of the issues that are particularly relevant to moving forward with Borer. So one issue we discussed, and I don't know how many of you had a chance to look this morning at the issue of Yaakov and the Bir Halacha, anybody got a chance to see that or not, but one of the major questions is how does this Malacha qualify as a Malacha? We talked about that yesterday, that if we generally assume that Malachos need positive definitions, what Tavia and Dani were just pointing out a minute ago, so how does Borer qualify? Maybe that is a pressure to use the refining definition more than the separating definition, because the standard of Malacha HaTzricha L'Gufa, the idea that a Malacha She'ena Tzricha L'Gufa is Pater according to normative Halacha, not according to everyone in the Gemara, not according to the Rambam, but according to normative halacha, malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa is pater. So how does borer and, let's say, zoreh make the cut? So we saw there were basically three views, even though two of them are similar. There was the Baal Hamor, who has the protectia view, basically, that really It's unqualified. It's not an appropriate malacha, borer and zora, but it has connections. It was in the right place at the right time. It was in the Mishkan when the malachas were being defined. So therefore, it's a malacha, even though it doesn't qualify. Right, which was mentioned yesterday, possibly links it, in terms of Zohar, links it with the Malachas Machshavas Gemara, that it doesn't qualify by the rules, but it qualifies because of the Mishkan. And the Ramban, with a different view, that something that's done positively is a Malacha, and this is positive. This is an act, let's say, of refining, to use Dani's word. And in his understanding, there was a broader playing field. We're not just sending away the psoles and evicting it into the cherub, but we are acting on the whole process here together, and therefore there is a positive process going on. And the Yeshua Yaakov that the Bir Halacha quotes is really very similar to the Ramban, but it has a little bit of a different point of focus, which affects Halacha, as the Bir Halacha goes into discuss. Is that Yeshua Yaakov's idea is that we're focusing specifically on what's left behind. We're focusing specifically on the remnant, on the ochel, and therefore it is an act of tikkun, it is an act of, say, refinement, or let's say, of validation of the ochel. The ochel is not qualified at the moment, is mixed in together with something that hurts its status, and by taking away the garbage, for lack of a better word, for psoles, we are making this food edible. So the Bir Halacha goes on to discuss from the Yeshua Yaakov that that definition poses a conceptual problem. Right? It poses a conceptual problem that we use ochel and psoles not only as actual terms, we use them as relative terms as well. We don't only mean, when we say psoles, we don't only mean that it's actual garbage, but we also use it to mean that it is less desired. So it could be actual, fully kosher, fully edible food that's not what you're interested in, and therefore we define it as psoles. It's not obvious from the Gemara that's true. But it's an issue that the Rishonim bring up. You see, for example, Tosfos and Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, right, which comments on the opening line of the sukkah here, which we'll look at the sukkah together in a moment. But the Gemara begins, Hayu lefanav shnei minei ochlin, shnei minei ochlin or minei ochlin. But comments Tosfos, v'chein pirish v'beinu chananel, deba'ochel mitoch ochel shaycha breira. That it's not just when you're dealing with ochel and actual waste matter, but even two types of food is also susceptible to the concept of breira. Sheborer oso sheino chafetz leachol mitoch osa sherotzo leachol. But also sheino chafetz bo chashipsoles legabe oso shechafetz leachol. Okay, and this is also what the impression you get from Yerushalmi, v'chein mashma Yerushalmi degaras haborer ochlin mitoch ochlin. So this is an important point. So if that's the case, if these are relative terms, so then that redefines a little bit the landscape of what's going on. Hi?
I mean, your reaction says the opposite.
So the opposite of Tosfos.
Says that it's only about things that are raw lachila and things that need to be cooked.
Okay.
If there are two things that can both be eaten raw or at the stage where they are, then there's no order.
So that's an important point, which highlights what we were saying a minute ago, that this is not from the Gemara itself. This is not necessarily muskam as much as it shows up in practical halacha, but it's not necessarily the only way of understanding this din. And it comes out from the Yeshua Yaakov also, that there's a fundamental problem with, at the very least, to equate edible food with psoles in the absolute sense, in the absolute deraisa sense, is a conceptual problem, according to this definition, because if it's about chasing away psoles, chasing away anything, so then that's going to be a negative definition, and negative definitions are difficult for us. So this issue is one issue that Rishonim and that Halacha Maisim becomes relevant, and we're not getting into it yet, we'll get into it a little bit more, but just looking at some of the possible issues here, but whether or not we extend ochel and psoles from objective definitions to subjective definitions has a major impact on what this malacha is. Is this malacha just about separating two things? Or is it about purifying one item by getting rid of objectively non-edible or non-roy stuff, that goes to the core of the definition of what borer means. Yo?
Even if we're going to say it's a subjective issue, does it mean what this person, even if 99% of the world thinks other, or is it that bottle that like vast majority of other people subjectively would see one?
Right, so that's a good question, and the question also depends, are you asking theoretically or are you asking practically? Because in practice, so we seem to be focusing on what you want, but that might be more of a theoretical challenge, that maybe if we want to define borer as purifying something or refining something, so then even if we could acknowledge that ochel mitoch ochel could work within that definition somehow, we probably have to have a more objective definition of what ochel is, vis-a-vis which would be considered the ochel and the psolus. That even if they're both ochel by themselves, so still the idea that taking away one ochel is somehow helping the ochel that remains, we need some objective way to define that if that's what the concept is. So if you're asking halachically, I think you're going to get one answer. If you're asking conceptually, then we have to figure out how that fits the conceptual model. This Tosfos, as we'll also discuss, also becomes invoked in the question of, does it have to be not only subjective ochel and soles, but do we have to be dealing with different types, different species? What about if you have one item, one kind of item, and you have big ones and small ones? So let's say you want to separate the big ones from the small ones. So as we'll get into, the Trumas HaDeshen, which the Rama quotes, says there's no such thing as borer when you're dealing with two different types, when you're dealing with one different type, it's only about two different types mixed together. And the Taz challenges the Rama and the Shrimas HaDeshen based on this Tosfos. Right? If we're going to introduce subjective standards, I like this instead of that, so this becomes Ochel and that becomes Psolas. So if I like big cookies more than small cookies, and I'm only interested in the big cookies. So then that becomes ochel, and the small cookies become solas. Why should it matter if they're all one min? Once I'm allowed to introduce a subjective standard into my definition of ochel and solas, so then let's not just throw out objective ochel psolas, let's also throw out one min, 2 min, let's throw this all out. Let it all be about what it is that I'm interested in. So again, this goes a little bit to the question of what the phrase even means. And the truth is, it seems that the Baal HaMor and the Ramban, and we'll plus put the Yeshuas Yaakov together with the Ramban for a minute, are really arguing about that. Right? So their answers are not just different answers to the question, they're answers that draw on different definitions. Like the Baal HaMor is saying that this is essentially a negative malacha, and only gets in because of its connections. So the Baal HaMor is saying that yes, we're interested in what we're getting rid of. While the Ramban, with his positive definition, right, isn't just giving you an alternate answer to the question. He's saying he looks at this malacha differently. He looks at this malacha as one in which you are affecting the status of what's left. Hi.
Can I? We were saying it could be that how are you breaking down the objective and subjective? You could directly say that both for either side that we want
to have. You probably could, but it seems like it makes more sense that if you're trying to fix the food, that the food has to have some objective problem. So if the food is mixed in with psolas, something that is defined objectively as waste matter, so by getting rid of the psolas, so then you are enhancing, refining, perfecting the food. If we're going to say that it's not that it has to really be psolas, it's that whatever you don't want is called psolas, even if you happen not to want something which is 100% good, wonderful food that others would happily take, so then you're not really fixing the food. You're just selecting out that which you want. So then that gives more of a separation aspect to the malacha, that you're separating that which you want from that which you don't want. To say that you're fixing the food is harder to say if there's no objective problem with the food.
So, assuming, I guess, the answer to the question, that being say, not as subjective as every individual.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, let's say, a bound of
what's called the
Daito,
right?
Subjectivity. So it's not so, once you say that, so it's not so hard to say that that subjectivity will also be about the tika, general tika.
It would be harder to say, but your question about whether they have to line up 100%, I think, is what lines up to Gil's question. Because if we want to say that we can have a subjective psoas, so could that still fit in with a perfecting definition? You're perfecting the food. So if you want to fit it into that side, you have to give it a subjective definition, but one that's at least a popular subjective definition. One that at least a substantial amount of the population would see as a flaw in the food. If it's completely subjective, that you are seeing it as something you want to get rid of, but the food is perfect according to most people in the world, it's very hard to square that with a definition that's about perfecting the food.
When, I mean, if it's about perfecting the food, so it seems like the more I want, it's about more what the product I want, you know, a form of efficient of a product that I want. That could be more subjective, I guess. When you're talking about...
It's hard to call the food...
When you're moving garbage, then... That should be more like what is generally accepted as garbage, as opposed to what I might, in my mind, in my calculation.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure. It's included in that way, that when you're defining garbage, garbage is at least what most people, if not all people, define as garbage.
So
we're coming from the other side.
So, but going backwards, it gives you less room to be subjective. The more you want to say that, it's just about
100%. Stuff. Yeah, that's agreed.
So the Valmore would also need to be more objective.
100%. Yeah, that's for sure true. The other question, if we're dealing with perfecting food, then for sure we want the garbage to be objective garbage. That's the point. The question is, even within Tosfos, that something that's not really garbage can be considered garbage because you don't want it. So could that also fit within the perfecting definition? So then that would require at least some kind of working definition of what's considered wanted and what's considered not wanted. In the Balamor's conception that it's about separating, so you don't have to necessarily separate bad things. The point is that you're chasing away something. You're chasing away what you don't want. But you're getting rid of something. It doesn't have to be garbage that you're getting rid of. It's negative because you don't want it. It doesn't have to be negative because it's inherently bad. So that seems to be a basic definitional issue. And that also will affect a number of other things, which again we'll go into more detail. This is just an introductory discussion. But the question of, so what does the shear address? What is the shear, by the way, for Borer?
Grogers,
right? How do we know that?
Depends.
Sorry? So maybe it should depend. But where do we see that it would be a Grogers? So, okay, Rashi on the Mishnah that says everything but Choresh seems to address this as well. There's a Tosefta that I put on this morning's list, if you saw it, which also spells out that it's a Grogerus. The Rambam that we saw by Zora also spells out that it's a Grogerus. So we have that spelled out a few times, which, by the way, is interesting. Why is it interesting? Hi?
Did we mention once that to be clad on Bori, you need to be completely...
Yeah, I want to get to that in a second also. We don't actually hold that way, but it's a sheet that we'll discuss in a second. So why is Grogerus a little bit surprising? Or a little bit of interest here? Sorry? The same effort. Yeah, why is Grogerus a little bit interesting?
I mean, because if you're talking about, it tells you that it's seemingly talking about the Ochlin.
Mm-hmm. Of the Ochlin. So that's one interesting point. But even before you come on to that, I'm looking for something else. Why is Grogerus, are all Malachas Grogerus? All malachas that have to do with achila. So is Borer only about achila?
It's not like
Sidur de Pas.
Sidur de Pas starts from achila, but is Borer specifically limited to achila? Okay, why do you say no? Oh, so you're assuming any mixture. So there, that seems to be a major view of halacha, and we'll get into that. But we'll see. It's a little bit of a discussion. It's really the Paz who brings up that point that we. Even though the Gemara talks about Ochlin, Borer is not limited to Ochlin. Not everyone agrees with this, so we'll discuss that a little bit more. But the shear of Grogerus is usually an Achila shear. So it's interesting that that is what is invoked in the context of Borer as a given. Maybe it shouldn't be necessarily the standard. Maybe it's not really about Achila at all. So that's one interesting point. And we'll come back to Sammy's point in a second. But the question that's going to very much flow from the issue of what's happening here, whether it's separating or refining or sorting, is where does the shear have to be found? Where is the grogris? Right, so I'm separating A from B. So what's a grogris? A, B, A plus B. What's the shear? So if you got to see, this was a suffix in the Perish, the Kadmon Mimitzrayim. It's printed in the back of the Shapsi Frankel Rambams. It's on the list this morning if you have a chance to take a look. It's the Ches Yudalit in Hilchos Shabbos. So the Perish, this Kadmon from Mitzrayim, has that suffix. He says, we've got to figure out. So when you're extracting A from B, so where is the shear? Is the shear in A or is the shear in B? And that certainly has to do with the question of what is the subject of this malacha. Is it what's being chased away? Or is it what's being enhanced by having its waste matter removed? And the Menchas Chinuch focuses the suffix a little bit differently. If the Menachas Chinuch asks, does it have to be A plus B? Is it the mixture that is being separated that is the grogris? Or can it even be if it's just what's left? It's a little bit different than the suffix of the Kadmon Mitzrayim is asking, is it A or B? And the Menachas Chinuch's question is it A plus B or just what's left?
Isn't what's left just B?
We could call either A or B.
When we say what's left, does it mean psolet?
Adolcha. No, what you have left to yourself.
What you took out the psolet. Right. What you left for yourself.
And to that end, he makes Sammy's point, which I asked him to hold off on for a second. The Minchas Chinuch says, well, look, what is grogris usually about? Olchon. So therefore, it says the Minchas Chinuch, it's a somewhat less than obvious leap. Right, since a grogris means we're talking about Olchlin, so therefore if I have Olchel and Psoles, grogris must refer to the Olchel part. Which is a very interesting sushtel because it's not an obvious use of words. Right, so when we say a grogris is for malachos that are about Olchel, you know, we mean food matter. Here what he's saying is that within this food matter, when you've extracted the waste from the food, since we're talking about grogris, it must mean the food part of the food has to be a grogris. And especially within Tosfos' subjective definition, that really it could be theoretically we're talking about all of it as food matter. We're just using the word ochal as a nickname for what we want. So then it's especially a non-obvious leap to say that, oh, it's got to be a grogris. Grogris only talks about ochel, so ochel is the part that you want. So it's a very interesting assumption that the Menachas Chinuch is making, but again, it reflects on the whole nature of what this malacha is, and it draws into this whole discussion of is ochel an objective term, a subjective term, etc. Sammy.
But it does work really well with Yeshua's life, yeah. Because if you're saying that the whole idea of Borger is being attacking the Ochel, so then it's not, Solus is not Ochel.
Yeah, it works well and it'll end up being on the same side. But either way, it's still especially interesting that I would not have necessarily guessed that this idea that Grogris is about food, means that it has to be specifically edible food. So the idea that Solus is not a part of something we would define by a Grogris standard, it's all a little bit surprising, but especially if Ochel is just a nickname for the food that we like. It's a little bit more of a leap, so it's a very interesting assumption. All
right? If you just take out the psolet, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say you look at just the psolet, and you have grover's worth of psolet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though you're looking at making the food, and taking the food, you can say that food is now exactly one grover's of psolet, mm-hmm. more pure than it was before. So you could still, look at...
Why is this pure psolus?
Yeah, let's say I extract, one grogris worth of, pebbles or whatever, right?
Right.
So that food itself, even though we're fixing the food, you can still look at the shear of psolus and say, this food is now one grogris worth of psolus more pure.
So that possibility is what the Perush HaKadmon Mitzrayim was acknowledging. that maybe if we're interested in what we're getting rid of, so then maybe we should look at the shear there. But to say that we're paying attention to that, we need some reason to say that. So maybe like the Bala Mor is saying that we say that because we're interested in chasing away the negative. So we're looking at how much we chased away. It wouldn't necessarily be a food focus as much, but maybe once we say that Roverus is the shear that is significant within food, so you need to chase away a significant amount, so then that's defined as a Grover. That seems to be the possibility that the Kadmon Mitzrayim is acknowledging. Menachas Chinuch isn't even focusing on that. He's not really focusing. It doesn't occur to him that that would be a point of focus to say that it should be specifically what's gone. Either it should be the whole mixture together or what remains that you want to eat. It's, what you're pointing out would be the other possibility that the Kadmon was acknowledging. So another issue, which Fryan brought up a minute ago, which also very much is relevant to this question, is the passage in the Yerushalmi, which I don't know if you got a chance to see this morning. It was on this morning's list, and we mentioned it in the context of Zorah as well. So there is a interesting view of the Yerushalmi, very interesting view of the Yerushalmi, that the Yerushalmi maintains that what threshold is necessary in order to violate Torah? Complete. You have to, does someone say that? You have to completely accomplish the job. So the Yerushalmi has this phrase that it's possible, Yesh Barer Kol Yom, a person could be sitting and picking away at something all day and not be in violation of Barer, because he's dealing with a large pile where he can't get all the waste out. But if he were to refocus, if he were to put a smaller pile in his hands, then as long as he's dealing with a Grogris, I'm saying it vaguely to leave open the possibilities of what dealing with means, but as long as he's dealing with a Grogris, then he could be Chayv. So what's the, first of all, puts the Grogris in context. Grogris is only going to help you as long as you're also able to accomplish a qualitative shear of 100% success. So there's two shearim involved. There's a quantitative shear that Grogris is still there, but it also has to be qualitative of you have to be 100% successful. But that threshold of complete success, so what does that seem to be suggesting? Probably that we're talking about, you want to comment on that?
You could see it both ways.
You could say it both ways, right? How do you want to say it both ways?
You can see, I think the more obvious reading is that you can see that it's clearly talking about the ochel, you have to get a
You have to get it perfect.
Right.
And as long as it's not perfect, you haven't really accomplished anything.
Right. Or you can say that...
Right, which we saw that, by the way. There was a slight model for that when we talked about Zoraya. And we talked, actually referred to it this past Sunday when we were talking about Zoraya planting also includes chasing away problems in planting. All right, so we mentioned on Sunday when we talked about spraying for the locusts that there was also a discussion if Zoraya is involved, because the Yerushalmi has a statement that Zoraya includes taking worms out of a plant. So then a question was raised by some Achronim. So do you have to take out all the worms? Does it mean basically perfecting the plant from the influence of the worms? Or if I take out one worm and I still have 10 worms left, am I also in violation? So to hear... So is it just that if I separate out some of the psolas, that is borer? Or do I have to leave the ochel in a perfect state? So that probably tilts towards the perfection model, but as you're about to say, you could see it going the other way as well.
Because if it's talking about that it's still on ochel, it only really takes effect once there's, it's on the psolas, sorry, but it only takes effect once there's only ochel left.
Well, so you're saying basically the same thing. It's just a question of are you doing borer the whole time that kicks in when you finish, or is it only borer once you've
But the totally shear would still be on the soul.
I see. From that
it
angle.
It only takes effect when there's only a ochel left.
That could be also true. But what I was also interested in is there a way to see this Yerushalmi in terms of the separating definition in terms of rather than in terms of the perfecting definition, all right?
So when you take out the soul, you got somebody ochel as well as you're separating it.
So then, what will that do?
Then you're not, even the soul itself isn't 100% pure. You have some of the
Okay, so then that means you're not really, how does that help us define? So if you're taking out ochel with psolos, then what happens?
Then neither of them are pure. Right?
Then neither of them are pure.
Usually, we said you think that the ochel has to be pure. Mm-hmm. You think of psolos with ochel.
Tell me if this is what you're getting at. That maybe the point is that even if it's separating, it's not necessarily about perfecting the ochel, but it's about separating things. So to separate them, you have to have two different types. So if I end up having a little bit of psolos and ochel in this hand, and a little bit of ochel and psolos in what's left, so then nothing's really separated. They're just divided. Right, it's like my spam folder, which doesn't actually distinguish between putting spam in the folder and good email in the inbox. It just mixes up each one. So that's not accomplishing anything. And if you end up having psolos within your ochel and ochel within your psolos, so you could argue that even from the separating definition, that's simply not accomplishing anything as far as separating is concerned. So either way, the Yerushalmi is a big chiddush, and it doesn't seem to be adopted l'halacha by our view. The Ran, which is not really the Ran, the Shita l'Haran, which is what's printed in the old Chidush HaRans. If you have the Moser of Kook Ran, so that's the real Ran, but we have on the old Chidush HaRan a different Rishon that's writing in the Ran's handwriting. So that in that Ran, it says like the Yerushalmi also in the interpretation of the Mishnah on Kuf Mem Gimel and Gemara on Kuf Mem Hey, where that Ran seems to say that you can't have borer in a situation where it's impossible to get all of the waste matter out. If you can't get all the psolas out and you have some of it left, you're not going to have an issue of borer. So this is not accepted by the poskim for the most part, this consideration. Not brought by the Rishonim who codified halacha. And the perception is that this is the flip side of what we talked about when it comes to Zorah. That this is also a part and parcel of the machlokas between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi in terms of conceptualizing these malachos. That we saw that Zorah was linked to Borer in the Bavli, while in the Yerushalmi, Zorah included spitting into the wind. And that was perceived as a machlokas which the poskim adopted the view of the Bavli. We saw Rabbi Akiva Eger and others saying that. So, as the Eger Kal pointed out, these machlokas are linked. So also the idea that you have to be 100% successful, which is structurally impossible when we're talking about Zorah. Zorah can't 100% get rid of everything. So all of this is part of the machlokas, the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. So the idea that you have to be 100% successful that the Yerushalmi has, the Bavli doesn't agree with, and the Rishonim and the Poskim that follow the Bavli did not accept that standard. So all of these are fundamental questions as we approach these Gemaras, or this one long passage specifically, that tells us about Borer. So let's keep these questions in mind. Let's try to look a little bit at the Gemara together. So we have a few minutes now left. So let's try to look a little bit at this Gemara and see what issues come up. One of the major things that will emerge after a lot of back and forth in this passage is a set of three conditions that are necessary for something not to be Borer, for something to be Mutter. And we need to figure out what is the theme of these three conditions. How does each one make sense by itself, and how do they make sense together? Is there one unifying theory behind these three conditions? And that'll be a topic that we'll end up discussing in a little more detail tomorrow, God willing. Hi.
Just in the Gemara, it seems that each of the explanations of the Braisa are arguing.
Right. It seems like they're... So as was pointed out by some of the later Svarim, they're not necessarily arguing with each other l'halacha. They're arguing with each other and trying to figure out what the Braisa is saying. Now, the Braisa is very mysterious, so there are a number of stabs at trying to figure out... The Rishonim say like this, that they're not necessarily arguing the Libid Hilchasa. They're arguing to try to figure out what this mysterious Braisa is saying. And then how things play out l'halacha has its own dynamic to it.
Okay.
But we'll see that in a little more detail as well. So let's just try to look at the Gemara together a little bit, so the time we have left. So the Gemara here begins in the top of Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, after already establishing in the previous passage the linkage between these three malachas, Bora, Zara, Merakeh. So he asks the Gemara, and one of the interesting points also we should keep in mind before starting this passage, one of the difficulties we're going to have, is that we spent some time also discussing yesterday how the three are distinguished from each other, Zora, Bora, Merakeh. And we saw that in the Rishonim there are different suggestions, probably three different sets of suggestions. And what we preferred yesterday was the view that none of these three is really the whole story. Very possibly they all work together as a whole. But that the three theories were that on the one hand, what you are using to do it, the Eichus HaPoel, as the Egli Tal and others say, are you using a winnowing shovel? Are you using your hand? Or are you using a sieve? And of course, the hand definition for Borer is going to be particularly challenging to the passage in the Gemara, as we'll get into. Rashi and Ayin Hey and other Rishonim invoking the subject of your attention, the Nifal, as it's put, in this case, different things that you focus on, wheat and chaff in the context of Zora, Sororos in the context of Bora, and again we have to figure out how broad a definition that is once we're saying that Bora applies to all kinds of other things, and Kemach, you know, flower in the sense of Merakeh. We saw that the Tosfos Arash expands Tosfos on Ayin Dalet, saying that the first definition of different tools is referring to the fact that you have different substances, that each substance only works within its right tool, so tools and substances are connected. And then we saw also the view, which was expressed, for example, by the Bartanuro, that anything that, the difference between these three malachas as opposed to other malachas which don't get independent slots, is that you needed to do all three of these in, let's say, Sidur Depas. It's not as if you choose one process or the other. You have a job to do, so you just pick this tool or that tool. You can either use your digital camera or your film camera to take a picture. You're going to use all three. You're going to do everything in order to process food and process bread, and therefore they each deserve their own slot. They're all talking about different things in the process. We also added in, after our discussion yesterday, seeing all these parts together, that first of all, Merakeh seems to be distinct from Zorer and Borer, because Merakeh is more clearly about purifying something, while the other two have this negative focus, which is why the Balamor, when he asks his question, focuses only on Zorer and Borer, doesn't include Merakeh as a negative issue. And within Borer and Zorer, so we suggested that Borer involves you're actively selecting things, while Zora seems to address a situation where natural forces such as the wind are going to be required, and therefore the very malach itself is defined by bringing it to the stage where the wind takes over, and therefore not actually doing the selecting yourself. So all three of these malachas about separating good from bad, but some pretty significant differences in terms of how, where, why, and when they're doing that. So with that in mind, and how that may affect some of the things we find here, so the Gemara picks up from this brisa, Tana Rabbanan, top of Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, Hayu Lefanav Mine Ochlin, or Beis Mine Ochlin. So you have these types of food in front of you. It's a number of different statements, which are mixed together and have to be separated out. Borer V'Ochel, no problem, separate needed. Borer V'Meniach, no problem, separate it and leave it there. Velo yivur. Oh, by the way, don't do that. Don't select. V'im birer chayav chatas. And if you did, you violate nesir daraisa chayav chatas. So my karma, right? Simply put, what is that saying? What's going on? What does any of that mean? So amar ula haki karma. Here's how we should read it. Borer v'ochel l'bo b'yom. So yes, you can select it to eat it for that day. and Borer Umeniach Lebo Bayom, and you can select it in order to leave it for that day. Which then leaves the question, what's the difference between those two? Because it would seem the second one includes the first. Ula Machar, but for the future, to tomorrow, Lo Yivor, V'yambira Chayav Chatas. You shouldn't do that, and you'll be Chayav Chatas. So Maskef L'Rav Chista, so Rav Chista asks, V'chimotar L'afos L'bo B'yom? V'chimotar L'vashel B'bo B'yom? What, you can do this when it comes to Afiyah and Bishul? It's mutter all of a sudden, if it's for that day, that'd be a terrific hatter. Right? If you need to cook for your Shabbos meal, so then you can do it because it's for that day. So clearly that would be a quite sweeping thing of the Shabbos that no one ever suggested. So clearly that's not the case. So that question is a fascinating question. Tovi was bringing it up during Seder, that it addresses a number of fascinating presumptions. First of all, the fact that Afiyah and Bishul, which are one malacha on the list, are listed here as two different questions, is itself something to take note of. But also that Afiyah is used as a standard, and that the assumption is that all the malachas are going to have to stick to one standard. Right? This is an issue that we've been dealing with from day one. Right? The very first malacha that we talked about Zareya, and the fact that Zareya has certain structural issues and the delay that happens between planting the seed and the seed sprouting, and the assumption that the Svarim have that this should somehow parallel how baking works. You put something in the oven and it takes some time to bake. So the whole question of do those malachas match up or not was a major issue. The assumption apparently here that, yeah, they should match up, that there should be some structural compatibility between the different malachas. And it's not an obvious assumption, and it's not a unanimous assumption, so it's an interesting presumption that the Gemara asks. Every time it's going to put up a rule here, but the Gemara is going to say, oh, wait a minute, is that true by Afiyah? Is that true by Bishul? Is that going to work if we try to apply it to all the malachas equally? So that's a surprising, perhaps, assumption. It's also something to take note of. Gil?
Would this be a riot against the Har Tzvi, or not?
So we mentioned at that time, Gil's remembering that we mentioned then that the Har Tzvi rejected that whole Zriya Fia parallel because he doesn't think malachas have to necessarily match. Every malacha is derived from the Mishkan by its own. You know, others will point out that there's no mocker in the Torah for the malachas anyway. Right? The Torah doesn't name the malachas. So if the Torah names malachas, we could believe that each one has its own rules. But the Torah just says, don't do malacha. So maybe there's a reason to believe that every malacha has to operate the same way. On the other hand, we have the Mishkan giving us malachas, and we have the belief that the Mishkan's contribution through the process of chiluk malachos makes it as if the Torah listed out these malachos. So there's somewhat of a tension there. Can we look at malachos as independent entities that can have their own rules, as the Har Tzvi preferred? Or do we say, no, listen, it's all from one pasuk. The Torah is not saying in one place don't write and another place don't cook, that we could look at them as two separate ideas. The Torah is just saying don't do malacha on Shabbos, giving us maybe less latitude to see different malachas as functioning differently. So that's a broad Hilchos Shabbos question in general, and it's just interesting to reflect upon the fact that the Gemara here seems to feel it's a valid question to say, oh, you can do that with Borer, well, can you do it with Afiyah? So it's an interesting thing to keep note of. So, because of that question, El Amar of Chista, apparently because of that question, El Amar of Chista, okay, yeah, so let's not use that Bo Bayom as the issue. Borer v'ochel pachos mikashir. Borer miniach pachos mikashir. Ukashir lo yivror v'yambir chayav chattis. So, what we're talking about is acting less than a shir. And what the Brisa means is the Isser of Borer only kicks in when you get to the shear, and less than that, you can do it. So that's interesting on a lot of levels, because the Gemara is going to object in a moment that that's not our policy either. It's not our Afiyah policy. That once again comes to Afiyah, says the Gemara, Maskef le Rav Yosef, v'chimotu la'afos pachos mikashir. What, you're allowed to bake less than a shir? And here, especially for those of you who weren't with us last semester, so we spent some extensive time talking about this, that the Gemara here is assuming that even though there is a minimum for punishment, it's still usur to perform a malacha less than the shir. And one might guess from the Gemara that this is true on a level minat Torah. It's an isur d'oraisa to do a malacha less than a shir. Rashi spells that out over here. It's a very significant Rashi, which we won't focus on now because it's not really about Borer, but it's worth being aware of for the topic of Chatzi Shir, which we discussed last semester. So it's a big debate what the role is of Chatzi Shir in Shabbos. And we generally assume that it's usur to eat chazer, and if you eat chazer, you're chayiv malchus. Usur to eat chametz on Pesach, and you're chayiv karetz. But both cases, you only get the onesh if you have more than a kezias. Less than a kezias, you don't get the onesh. But the Gemara tells us that less than a kezias is still usur, you're not allowed to do it, even though you don't get the onesh. And it's machlokas in the Gemara, but we paskin, it's also min ha-Torah. It's a Torah prohibition to do any amount of eating something prohibited. So how does this relate to Shabbos? When it comes to malachos, and malachos have shiurim, so is it prohibited to do less than the shiur? Is it prohibited to carry, let's say, a very small amount? And if it's prohibited, is it prohibited min ha-Torah or midrabanan? This is a big machlokas. You have every different view. But Rashi over here interprets this Gemara to be saying that less than a shir is asur min ha-Torah, and that it's the same halacha as eating less than a shir. So you should just take note of it. Again, it's a different sugya, but you should just take note of the significance of this Gemara, that the Rashi and v'chimutu la'afos pachos mikashir, the phrase we just read in the Gemara, nihi d'chi ev chatis leka, there's no onesh for it, isura mihaike, still also the kamalan chatzi shir asur min ha-Torah, because we assume that chatzi shir, there it's talking about the context of eating, is prohibited min ha-Torah, perek basher v'yuma, ayin dal min alaf, v'hechi ksani bar l'chadchila. So how could our Gemara say that it's not only not punishable, but it's permissible to select less than a shir? So we'll just raise one point now. We'll have to continue the Gemara tomorrow because I don't want to keep you late. But what was the Havamina, the Chista's Havamina? So the first back and forth we just had there about Bo Bayom, so the refutation came from the fact that it doesn't match Afiyah. And we just said a second ago that that's a whole interesting point of discussion, but the Malachas have to match. This question of shir, you could maybe look at that independently. Rav Chista's belief that maybe it should be mutter, less than a shir, maybe that's a theory of Borer. And maybe Rav Chista was saying that, yeah, I know chatzi shir is also manator. I recognize that you can't cook less than a shir or carry less than a shir. But maybe Borer is different. Why should Borer be different? So maybe the Yerushalmi, but as we mentioned earlier, the Yerushalmi has basically two shiurim, the grogerus, the quantitative shiur of the grogerus, and the qualitative shiur of perfection. But maybe also, we saw a little bit in the context of Zohar yesterday, that there was a view that maybe Zohar also doesn't apply less than a shiur. And we saw that because of the Gemara about the Molo Malilos possibly involving Borer and Zohar issues, and being mutter anyway. So maybe there's something about the malacha of Borer where the shir is more definitional. Right? And it's interesting, for example, if we take the Menchas Tzinuch's equation of grogerus ochel and ochel mitoch psolas ochel, so maybe one could have said that, oh, if Borer means you have to leave over some ochel, and that if less than a grogerus is not ochel, maybe definitionally you can't do Borer if you're leaving over less than a shir. Not that it's a condition which you can't get punished for, but maybe on a fundamental definitional level, there's no such thing as Borer if what's involved when you're finished is less than a shir. Which is an interesting thought. Maybe that's what prompted Rav Chista to say what he's saying. So So far all we've seen is Havnin, is we don't have any Maskana yet because this Gemara is long, and we'll have to continue it tomorrow. Any questions on anything we've done so far? Any issues? Everybody's following? Everybody's good? Okay, so tomorrow we'll have to...